Hey guys, it's Christine. My one-woman show, Surviving the Ride, has been accepted into the White Fire Theater Solo Festival. It's one night only, Saturday, February 16th, at the fantastic White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks, California. If you're in LA, guys, I really want to see you there. Head over to ChristineBlackburn.com for tickets and stick around after the show for a small reception. I hope you guys can make it. Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, writer Jamie Reedy talks about being one of the very first pharmaceutical reps for a little drug called Viagra.
If anyone tells you that they knew Viagra was going to be a worldwide phenomenon, they are lying. Internally, yeah, we knew it was going to be big, but we didn't know that it was going to be on the cover of Time magazine. We didn't know that Tom Brokaw was going to be talking about it on NBC Nightly News. So it was fantastic as a rep.
Today on the show, writer Jamie Reedy talks about being one of the very first pharmaceutical reps for Viagra. Stay close.
Hey, this is Jamie Reedy, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you had a chance to listen to the story last week by screenwriter and novelist Teresa Lowe, and her story was called My Sugar Daddy, which is like, Jamie, that has a lot in the title, right?
Yeah, I listened to that episode. It was very exciting and interesting.
It is exciting and it is interesting because Teresa has, she's open-minded to it and she's not judgmental. I mean, what she went through was not good, but it also, it's just a fantastic story. I don't want to tell everybody everything, but I will say that she had a sugar daddy and she was the sugar baby. And I didn't even know that was a thing, the sugar baby part.
Yeah, I got to make more money.
I thought that's it was just a sweet treat that you eat in movies. I didn't know.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Anyway, you guys, but go back and listen to Teresa, but not today, because today I'm here with Jamie Reedy, and Jamie brings forth the topic, I was a Viagra salesman. And, you know, it's very clear, isn't it? I mean, the title, it's all right there. And I met Jamie because I read his book called Hard Sell. And it was that book, Hard Sell, was made into a major motion picture called Love and Other Drugs with Jake Gyllenhaal. And also Anne Hathaway, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and also Hank Azaria was in it.
Hank Azaria.
So you wrote a book and they made it a movie.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's pretty fantastic.
It was pretty fantastic.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, right?
No, in fact, I had some grizzled, jaded crew members on set pull me aside and say, I hope you understand that this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like how lucky you are.
I read that in the back of the book. It's the very end of your book. You talk about how these guys are like, you know, this doesn't happen. And then there you are and you look at the IMDb page and you wrote the book. So I'm super impressed. And just the whole idea of being a Viagra salesman, because this is the beginning when Viagra first kind of came out, as it were.
Correct. I launched Viagra. I was one of the first 150 reps.
Wow. One of the first 150 reps. That's amazing. I have met a few pharmaceutical reps in my life, and they're always kind of, cocky. And also, like, I remember one carried a gun because he said he could get ripped off. And, you know, he had these expensive drugs, and that's why he needed to have a gun. It was just like, what?
Wow. Yeah, I was never packing.
Yeah, you didn't have to pack for Viagra. No. Okay, so I have to tell you, regarding Viagra, have I ever taken Viagra? No, I'm a woman. But have I been with a man who's taken Viagra? I don't know. Nobody ever told me they did.
Right. So you would have to have at least two sessions with that gentleman, and then you would know, hey, something's a little different this time.
What do you mean?
Well, like you would have sex with him the first time, and he wasn't on Viagra, and then you would have sex with him the next week, say, and he popped a vitamin B, and then you might tell a difference.
Except that. Does a man who uses Viagra always have to use it, or sometimes they use it, sometimes they don't, right?
Both, yeah.
So why would I ever know? Why would I discern? How would I know? I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just trying to say, like if we had sex, even the first time,
right,
he could have been on Viagra the first time.
Correct. So what I'm saying is you'd have to have at least two times, and one of the times he was not on Viagra.
Yeah.
And you would notice a difference in the quality of his erection.
Except that sometimes, even if you're not on Viagra, it can be good and bad. Are you saying that every time it's not working out, because that could just be alcohol or something?
Sure, and the Viagra could counteract the alcohol.
I see. That's probably a big reason why guys use it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No kidding. Sure. Because, in other words, they drink too much and then...
Yeah,
whiskey. And they can't get it up.
Correct.
And how long does it take to last?
So the window for Viagra is 4 hours.
I mean, so you take it and you'll have an erection immediately for 4 hours?
So both those things are not correct. So you don't get the erection unless there's stimulation.
So there still has to be
whether
like
it's mental or physical. Yes, foreplay, or you could just be watching porn, or turned on. However,
I see.
And then the blood flow will occur thanks to the Viagra. And then the second part of the question is, no, if it lasts 4 hours, as we all know from the annoying commercials, then you have to go to the hospital. So it should last the normal amount of time that a guy's erection for that individual guy would last. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm not a guy, but I've known a few.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no Viagra in your system, could you ever get a four-hour erection? In life, is there any guy that's walking around and gets an erection for that long of a time and then has to go to the doctor? Or did Viagra invent that?
I think it's just Sting, right?
With the tantric sex. And I do love him. I will say, I'm sorry. I know it's really shallow, but it's true.
Right. So naturally, the erection would go down, whether because there's orgasm or just eventually.
So nobody has a 4-hour erection unless you're on Viagra.
Correct.
Interesting. I'm learning. And here's the thing. If you have good sex, it could lead to marriage. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just saying, a lot of people get married, and I don't know anybody who was a virgin when they got married. Because especially to me, I mean, that's like part of the chemistry. If it's not working, it's not working. But here's the thing. If you do want to get married, you guys, you got to check out Zola. Because Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, and affordable save the dates and invitations. Have you ever been married, Jamie?
I have not, but I was curious to see if my mom planted that. Ad placement.
Does she want you to be married?
I think yes.
Do you have a girlfriend?
So. I do not have a girlfriend right now.
Okay, well then, you never know what could happen. I will say I've been married twice. It's complicated when you're planning a wedding. But you guys, I'm telling you, check out Zola because they conveniently manage everything online and all in one place. They've got over 100 beautiful wedding website designs to choose from. It fits anybody's style and every type of wedding. Zola makes it easy to personalize your favorite design with all your wedding details. You can add photos and stories about how you guys met and travel and accommodations info and even recommend things to do for your guests while they're in town for your wedding. To start your free wedding website and get $50 off your registry, head on over to Zola.com/storyworthy. Zola.com/storyworthy. You will get $50 off your registry. Zola.com/storyworthy. It's Z-O-L-A. Zola.com. My niece just used it when she got married and she adored it.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys, we're going to get to Jamie's story here in just a second. But before we do, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at storyworthy. And why not head over to storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list. You know, Jamie, will you join my mailing list?
Absolutely.
It's just a quick little note I send and I on Monday mornings, and it's fun, and there's pictures, and you know what's going on in my story-worthy life. Oh, my gosh. And also, you guys, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give Story-Worthy a good review. Subscribe, rate, and review. It is very important. I don't know why, but if you do that for me on Apple Podcasts, I don't care where you listen to the podcast after that. You know what I mean? You can listen on Stitcher or Spotify, NPR One, directly on the website. But the Apple Podcast rating is what I need. Thank you. All right, you guys, he's here right now, Jamie Reedy. He is a writer and a former U.S. Army officer, which I find interesting.
Okay.
I am. I'm interested. I've never met an Army officer.
Really?
No. All right, you guys, Jamie's first book, Hard Sell, The Evolution of a Viagra Salesman, served as the basis for the film Love and Other Drugs, like I said. And Jamie's also written 3 other books, none of which anybody wanted to make into movies. But it could happen. You don't know.
It could happen. First world problem. Wah, wah.
Jamie's latest book, Need One, A Lunatic's Attempt to Attend 365 Games in 365 Days, details your insane journey crisscrossing the country in 2014, searching for a Americana on our sidelines and in our bleachers. So did you go to all sorts of sporting events?
Yeah, from like six-year-old girls basketball all the way to the Super Bowl.
That is so funny.
It was a ridiculous 5 months. I ran out of money and I had to quit after 151 days, but yeah. it was a blast. I met some really neat people.
And you really did go to the Super Bowl.
I did.
Wow. Where was it that year?
That was in New York City.
Wow.
My friend Alan got me free tickets.
So what a blast. Great, yeah. What a blast. And two of your feature scripts have been optioned by production companies, and you've written 3 sitcom pilots. So you are just a writer. And yes. You write so well. Really, I loved Hard Sell. I really did.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for sending it to me. You guys can find Jamie over on Twitter at Jamie Reedy. JAMIEREIDY. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jamie Reedy.
Thanks for that applause. It's nice to be here. So nearly 21 years ago, March 1998, Viagra got approved by the FDA as the first oral treatment for erectile dysfunction, also known as ED. The previous treatments were required a surgery where a urologist would implant a pump that could be, you know, the penile implant would be pumped up for sex. And then a doctor invented an injectable, which he actually unveiled to the world at the annual Urology Association meeting, where he came out to give the featured talk. He was wearing sweatpants, which people thought was odd because normally he'd be wearing a suit. And he was wearing sweats, and he announced that he had injected his penis with this new drug shortly beforehand, and then stood to the side and showed his rod through the sweatpants. The third treatment, which was considered an improvement, is called Muse, and that was a pellet that was inserted through a straw in the urethra. So these were the options to men of the world who were suffering from some erectile problems. And Viagra comes out in March of 1998 and becomes a sensation. Now, for those of us in Pfizer's elite urology division, and I say that mocking only myself, it really was an elite division, and like 99 of the other reps completely deserved to get promoted. And I got promoted by accident because my boss was tired of dealing with me and unfulfilled potential. So he just, in the Army, we say, fuck up, move up. And he's basically like, hey, let me promote this Reedy guy and get rid of him. So I got promoted into the Viagra division in Fresno. I had the Fresno territory. It was the last one to get filled in the country. And I had grown up outside New York City and didn't really have a great understanding of California. And I said, Fresno, what's that, like 20 minutes from the beach? So I was the only person in Pfizer who was like, yeah, sign me up for that Fresno division. So if anyone tells you that they knew Viagra was going to be a worldwide phenomenon, they are lying. Internally, yeah, we knew it was going to be big for reasons that I just laid out, right? There isn't a good choice for men who want to improve their erections. But we didn't know that it was going to be on the cover of Time magazine. We didn't know that Tom Brokaw was going to be talking about it on NBC Nightly News. So it was fantastic as a rep to suddenly be a rock star. Like, I got a standing ovation in a urology office. I walked in. It was a small waiting area. It was all guys, and everybody had their heads down. Basically, just like, don't look at anybody else. Maybe we're all here for the same reason. We don't want to talk about this, certainly. This is before all the commercials, right, that made erectile dysfunction such a household term. Mm-hmm. And the urologist opened the door, and he looks at me sitting there in my suit, and he says, gentlemen, this is the V-man. And they looked at me and I got a standing ovation. And that never happened with antihistamines, right? So that was pretty awesome. Suddenly, the normal rep-doctor relationship, which was, you know, reps just chasing after doctors, begging them to prescribe our drugs, trying to take them to concerts or them and their spouses to dinner, it got reversed. I was getting called by doctors. Hey, Jamie, why don't you come play my private golf club this weekend? Because samples were in high demand. And so it became kind of this capitalist system where, all right, Dr. Blackburn, are you going to prescribe my other 3 drugs that I have for urology? Oh, no, you're not? Then I'm going to move on down to, you know, Dr. Smith. And so that was fantastic. We had panicked nurses calling, please come deliver. We need more samples. And that had never happened before. So it was super exciting. One of my colleagues had a great story where a male urologist in the Sacramento area kind of pulled him aside and said, "Hey, man, can you meet me out back with some Viagra samples?" And my teammate said, "Well, yeah, but, you know, I could just give them to you here. Like, what do you, you know, nothing to be ashamed of, Doc." And he goes, "No, they're not for me. They're for my wife. Just meet me out back." So my friend goes out back like a drug deal in the back of the building. And the doctor just, he logged in all the samples that they got. So the nurses would have noticed if, you know, an extra 3 packs had vanished and might have asked some questions. And this guy didn't want to have it come up and his wife would be embarrassed. But he said, the doctor says to the Pfizer rep, "It's unbelievable. She's a tigress on this stuff. It's like, I don't even know this woman I married." And so, okay, rock and roll. And the interesting thing about that is that Viagra doesn't do anything to improve desire or increase libido. It just increases blood flow. So it's kind of strange that his wife became a tigress, but who cares? Yeah. My buddy did a fantastic job of quid pro quo and said, "Yeah, listen, I'll keep your wife hooked on Viagra as long as you prescribe these 3 other drugs. And the doctor said, rock and roll. And my buddy did great that year. Yeah. And that was just kind of the thing that was sort of how it rolled out. Everything was different. And I should have known that that was going to happen when a couple of weeks before Viagra got approved, I was on the phone with my dad, who's a financial planner, stockbroker type guy. And people on Wall Street were waiting to find out when Viagra was going to get approved by the FDA, because obviously the stock price would go up. And so my dad and I were talking, and I was joking, "Yeah, they don't usually let the reps in Fresno know that information, Dad." And then my dad chuckled, and it was a sound that I became very accustomed to in the following months, where my dad goes, "You know, you could send your old man some samples." And that laugh was, as if I have any trouble, right? My first reaction to this, though, was, "Ew. I don't want to think about my parents having sex, whether it's good sex, bad." No, my parents had sex 3 times and they had Jamie, Patrick, and Amory to show it. You know, I don't want to have this. We're never going to have this conversation again is what I'm thinking in my head. So I go, "Hey, Dad, this is so weird." And he says, "What's that?" And I said, "Mom called me last week and told me to send you Viagra samples." That was it. My dad never brought up Viagra again. So subsequently, I start getting hit by everybody with sample requests. All my friends. It wasn't just doctor's offices. Like, everybody wanted to take it for a ride and find out, you know, does this work or not? And that got a little awkward, because after a couple of beers, guys start talking more freely. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they are telling me things about their sex lives that I don't really need to know about at all. Yet they think, because I sell Viagra to urologists, that apparently I am a urologist. "Yeah, man. So, you know, like, things were going great, you know, rocking and rolling, no problem. And then all of a sudden last month, like, womp, nothing. So, like, what do you think?" I think I'm going to go stab myself in the ears. Nothing. "Well, can I get some samples?" No, you cannot get samples. So I just made a rule flat out that I was not giving any friends samples. Right? Because word is going to get out and then somebody's going to be pissed. But here's the other thing. You know, men started having heart attacks, and it wasn't the Viagra. This was early on. There was initial, "Oh shit, you know, we're killing guys. This is terrible." But it was the exertion. It was men who had not done anything physical in a long time, suddenly climbing back in the saddle, and their heart couldn't take it. So this was alarming to the media and to, you know, regular people, but certainly urologists understood what was happening. And so I had one doctor who told me, "Listen, if I wouldn't let a patient carry luggage up 2 flights of stairs, they're not getting Viagra." And on the East Coast and the Midwest, urologists would use the, "If I wouldn't let my patient shovel the driveway, they're not getting Viagra." And so once the word got out, you know, obviously Pfizer did a fantastic job of coaching from the top down and saying, "Hey, we got to make sure that every physician in America understands, you know, what the kind of rough guideline is. Then the heart attacks dropped dramatically. It was just that initial surge. And then, you can't stop it if you're, your buddy's going to steal samples from your medicine cabinet or whatnot. But which happened. There was lots of thefts. There, a Pfizer rep, his storage locker got broken into because some enterprising bad guy had noticed him in the doctor's office and then followed him around until they got to the until they got to the storage locker. We had to be coached for the first time in my 5-year pharmaceutical career. We got coached on how to deal with inappropriate sexual comments from medical professionals. And this was really focused on the female reps in the sense of you're just talking about erections all the time. And so think about how many creepy guys you know who would make an inappropriate comment regardless. Now you have doctors leaning over and go, oh, really? How hard is it going to get? Weird stuff. So they had to coach us through that. And the women obviously heard so many ridiculous things. And we were initially instructed not to partake in any of the jokes. And if you remember, in 1998, this was when people would forward emails with jokes, all of any kind. Mm-hmm. But the Viagra jokes were flying all over the place. And we were told to not laugh and not engage in any jokes. And that lasted about a day. And then I realized, oh, my God, I'm a total loser. I mean, just last week, I was a guy who, yeah, we told jokes. And now, no, I can't tell jokes. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Blackburn. I find it inappropriate to laugh at that. And I will not share with you any jokes, right? So, no, that stopped. And there was a lot, there's still inappropriate discussions going on. But that's what happens. When you say erection all day, every day, you're going to get into crazy conversations. I even had one where my mom called from her office and she says, James, I'm here talking with the girls at work. And they pointed out that your book title is very racy. And I just remember being on the phone and I started shaking my head. No, 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 no. She goes, I mean, I just thought it meant hard sell. Pharmaceutical sales is a difficult job. I didn't know that it meant and I hung up. I've never hung up on my mom before that, never hung up on her since, but I could not hear her say the word erection. Like, I just needed some boundaries. Like, that's not going to happen, right? But then that was a common thing. Like, it wasn't just my, it wasn't like my mom was asking about Viagra. I just couldn't hear her say the word erection. But everywhere I went, I'd be in bars with my buddies, not in Fresno. I would go into San Francisco with friends, and we'd be at a bar, and I was like the shiny new toy. They'd say, oh, hey, nice to meet you, Christine. Jamie sells Viagra. I mean, there was no lead in. They're just right to it. And after a couple of drinks, the questions start rolling in. Like, does it make the penis longer? Does it make sex last longer? My personal favorite. Will it burn in my throat? Wow. The women were just getting right to like the important the important questions as to where some of the guys would skirt the issue. But then the other, you had mentioned earlier that you had never tried Viagra. It's not common. I mean, it's not commonly prescribed for women. But the female Viagra was a major thing for Pfizer because just the data showed that female sexual dysfunction was a far bigger issue than erectile dysfunction. So we were trained to just never comment on using Viagra in women because Pfizer was terrified that the FDA would come down and, penalize the company for improper, selling something that's called off-label if you sell it for a condition that the FDA has not approved it for. So I was completely brainwashed and terrified about this, and I was doing a great job of never talking about Viagra in women. And then I was in Fresno talking to one of my favorite doctors of all time, a urologist in Fresno, who's a really funny guy. His name is Bill Schiff. And I said, hey, you know what? I mean, I'm like on my way out the door. And I just stop and go, hey, you know what? Like, what would happen if a woman took Viagra? What are we looking at? He goes, well, the clitoris is basically just a small penis, but with as many sensors, if you will, on it. So, you take a Viagra. And you're just looking at an increase in blood flow and lubrication. And I'm like, and that'll lead to clitoral engorgement. Okay, rock and roll. Thanks, Dr. Schiff. And I'm out the door, certain that I will never share this information with anyone. Half hour later, I'm in a female OBGYN's office, and she completely, I'm dropping off samples of Diflucan, which, you know, is for yeast infections, and Zoloft, and I'm in the supply closet, and and then she goes, "Hey, Jamie, why can't I give Viagra to my female patients? What would happen?" And is this, you know, it's like she, you know, threw her lariat of truth around me, and I just start babbling, and I look at this woman right in the eyes, and I say, "Well, basically, as you know, the clitoris is just really a small penis. And so with Viagra, you're going to increase nitric oxide and just increase blood flow and clitoral engorgement." And then I realize, what is wrong with you? You, A, just said clitoral engorgement to a woman that you are not intimate with. That's weird. Secondly, you are full on getting fired, you jackass. And this is all going through my head right there. And there's just like this, no pun intended, pregnant pause, and I'm staying there, and she turns to her nurse, and she goes, "Jamie's cool. He can always come back and see me." And then she walks off, and I'm like, okay, now I'm never telling any woman, any female doctors about Viagra in women. But it didn't end up happening at Pfizer, because the researchers got super frustrated. If you're talking about erectile dysfunction, it's really easy to determine, did the drug work or not, mm-hmm. right? Penis is up, penis is not up. But with female sexual dysfunction, the researchers couldn't pin down just like mm-hmm. a yes or no. Mm-hmm. There's several different types of dysfunction. You know, one woman may not have had an orgasm in 10 years. Another woman thinks I only have two orgasms. I'm dysfunctional. And finally, the researchers, we can't do it. We can't narrow down like the exact condition. And so Pfizer didn't produce a female version of Viagra, which is sad for everybody. But the feedback that I got from speaking to OBGYNs, who are also in my sales territory, was that it was really the libido was the problem. Mm. That it's, so many married women are just tired, right? I mean, that's common exhaustion. We would call it the soccer mom thing. I mean, you're just running around all the time, taking care of everything in the household. And yeah, at the end of the day, you just didn't feel like it. It's understandable. And so Viagra, like I said earlier, does nothing for the libido. Just works on increasing blood flow.
Yeah. Okay, so how did the job end?
So the job ended, how did my job end?
I mean, I read the book, so I know. Yeah. But how did the job end?
Oh, so I was gunning for a promotion into the sales training team. And Pfizer told me just to wait. And I didn't want to wait. I wanted to go right then. I mean, I was living in the Central Valley, California. Yeah. I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
And I'd also written my first screenplay, which I was certain was going to be a smash hit and I was going to take over Hollywood. So I basically like, peace out, man.
Wow.
And I quit, not knowing that I was the number one ranked rep in the country, because back then there was a sales delay of 2 months. And had I known that, I probably would not have quit. And things were going so well in my territory that I was number one in the country for the next 5 months, even though it was empty.
So how long did you sell Viagra?
I sold Viagra for 2 years and 2 months.
And so you're selling Viagra, but as a Pfizer rep, you're selling other drugs, like you said.
Correct.
So Viagra is just one of them.
Right.
And so there's so many questions, honestly. And it is a very curious subject. I mean, not just back in 1998, it's still a very curious subject. I mean, everybody wants to know, how to have a stellar sex life. That's what people want. And now, of course, there's many other kinds, right? Because Cialis is the same thing, essentially.
Yeah, only the window for Cialis is 36 hours.
What's that mean? So if you take it, you could have an erection within 36 hours.
Yeah, that, like, let's just call it like go time.
Yeah.
Window is 36 hours. So if you are inspired during that 36 hours, the erection should happen.
So is it more expensive then?
I don't know pricing. I think it is more expensive.
I did a commercial for Cialis, and like every other Cialis commercial, there are two bathtubs
in
the commercial, which is bizarre. Actually, there was only one bathtub in the commercial, but we weren't in it. It was just overflowing with water, and then I turned the water off. But they're still so strange. Why? I never understood that. Two bathtubs on a beach. I don't get that. Why would you be in separate bathtubs? But anyway, so what did you sell before they gave you Viagra? Just the regular stuff.
Yeah, so I sold Zithromax as an antibiotic. I sold Diflucan, which is the yeast infection. Sold Zoloft for depression.
Yeah.
Talking about funny commercials, there was one ad campaign where a female patient, a Zoloft patient with a smile on her face, was brushing her cat's teeth. And that was one what we're all, yes. And when you try Zoloft, you'll be back to brushing your cat's teeth.
Yeah, like you thought you were crazy before, and now here you are.
You're not depressed, but you're still crazy.
Do only urologists prescribe Viagra, or can any doctor?
Yeah, any doctor can. It was just that
originally,
because urologists are the expert in erectile dysfunction, that was why we had to have a division of reps just to call on those people.
Yeah,
at the
interesting.
Start.
And so it increases the blood flow there, but in other places too? In other words, is your whole body getting more blood?
Or? Different areas. So there can be some flushing in the face.
Yeah.
But that's really like the main.
It's just so interesting that you could take this pill and it goes directly to that area.
Yeah, so it increases, it blocks something called PDE5, phosphodiesterase 5.
You're so smart.
Why do I still know that? Can we delete that information?
Yeah, we can, because I'm not going to because it's interesting.
Anymore. So PDE5 blocks nitric oxide, and so that prevents the erection from happening.
Yeah.
So Viagra, like, takes care of the PDE5 and the nitric oxide flows in.
Do you ever regret that you quit? I mean, just because it did seem like you were doing so well, and maybe the sales position or the training position was, you know, coming, but maybe not right then.
Yeah, it definitely would have been coming afterwards, no doubt. I mean, when I was the number one rep in the country, I would have.
So were you just cocky?
Keep going.
I'm just asking because it does seem like, yes. I know drug reps, you know, they get their territory and they've got their friends and they know the doctors and they just spin around and you know, all day long meet and greet and hello. And
yeah, all that is true.
Is it just you didn't want to live in Fresno?
Yeah, I was tired of the Central Valley. You know, I didn't have a girlfriend. I was just like, I'm ready. I should be a trainer now. Like, you guys don't recognize it. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, again, speaking of cocky, I had written a romantic comedy screenplay, damn it, and I was going to take care of
it. I get it.
I was going to take over Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, you still might.
I still might.
So did you ever take Viagra? And were you taking it, like, recreationally? Or does everybody take it recreationally?
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, in general, it's all taken recreationally because you want to have better sex.
Yeah.
But no, so I was taking it, after, 12 beers.
Yeah, right.
And
let's see what happens.
So it was great. My mom did call.
You had bigger problems than not getting it up. Hey, listen, what's Indian Viagra? What's all that about?
What's what?
Indian Viagra.
I have no idea.
In India, they're always pushing Viagra, and I know, a huge amounts of Viagra for very, very, very cheap. I don't know if it works or it doesn't work, but that's like, you see that everywhere, all over India.
I have not been to India. I do not know.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. I thought that was really a surprise. I had no idea it was so popular there. And maybe it's just because it's like a Chinese this or an Indian this, where they make it for cheaper, I guess.
Maybe.
Saying. I don't know.
You know, for some reason, this just sparked a story that took place in like the complete opposite of India, Utah. In the first year of Viagra, the number one ranked salesperson was a woman in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So that prompted all these jokes about, well, yeah, you got six wives. You need some help getting it up.
I could see that, though.
And,
it's true.
Right, except we found out that it was the first mail order pharmacy was located in Viagra, in Utah.
That's
and was shipping out pills all across America.
That's what it is then.
Yeah,
because that's where the headquarters were or whatever.
Yes.
Interesting. Did you happen to get any stock in this product?
Well, I mean, we all have Pfizer stock. Yeah, and when
So you got that as part of your compensation working there? Or did you get additional? Like, when you saw Viagra working the way it was, did you tell any of your friends and family, like, I'm telling you, this thing is flying off the shelves. You should buy Pfizer. Or did everybody knew that?
I think everybody knew at that point. Yeah.
Did the stock go crazy?
It doubled in a year, which back then was a lot, before the dot-com boom.
Yeah.
So in terms of pharmaceutical sales, made a lot of people. We would walk out of meetings and some of the older reps would get on the payphones and like check their stock account I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
Because of their 401k,
would go. Wow. Amazing. That's amazing. It's so funny that you were talking about how people were dying, literally, men were having heart attacks. But how sad that is that somebody literally maybe couldn't walk up two flights of stairs. In other words, that they could equate that with literally, if you get an erection and you try to have sex, you're gonna blow up your heart. That would be terrible, right? I'm just thinking about that, like, oh my God. Not just that you are out of shape and can't exercise, but you can't have sex for real?
Yeah, and you know, a number of urologists I talked to had male patients who were like, "I don't care. Like, if that's if that's how I'm going to go, I'm going to go." You know, I walked into an office one day where the urologist, I could hear him screaming from behind the wall, "Take the first pill 1 hour before." And I thought, this is so embarrassing. HIPAA, hello. Everyone's going to know this patient is, you know, getting Viagra. And then the door opens, and the first thing I see at the bottom is one of those tennis balls attached to the bottom of the walker.
Yeah.
And this old man comes out, and he's got an oxygen tank and the walker. And I say to one of the nurses, like, what's going on? And she looked at me. She goes, "Everybody wants it, Jamie."
Wow.
Oh, that is human nature
right
there.
That is so interesting. I can totally see why you would feel like a rock star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When everybody wants what you're bringing in.
Yep.
Why did everybody want samples? I mean, because everybody wants free stuff. But I mean, why couldn't they just get a prescription? Was it ever hard for anybody, or is it hard for anybody to get Viagra?
20 years ago, yes. Doctors, you know, certainly guys in their 30s couldn't just walk into their doctor and say, "Hey, I want to try out Viagra."
Yeah.
Nowadays, I think it's a lot easier. You know, medical marijuana, I think, has made all that sort of lifestyle prescriptions easier.
Yeah.
But back then, no, it was, "Oh, wait, you're having trouble with erections? Oh, maybe you have diabetes. Maybe you have a heart."
I see.
No. "Hey, doc, no, I just want to have some fun on Friday night."
It does seem antiquated, you know, and marijuana as well. Like, what in the world would be the big thing? I don't get that. The dick jokes all day, every day, that must have gotten really old.
They did get old. In fact, you know, the title of my book is Hard Sell, which it's still grown. Some people laugh, and I get
groans. I can't believe your mom didn't catch on to that right away. Was hard for her.
That's such a bummer. But I was at, I was out in Hollywood with one of my best friends from college, and one of her friends is a guy named Ted Griffin, who's a wildly successful screenwriter in Hollywood. He wrote the first Ocean's 11 remake.
Mm.
Really successful guy. And we were several drinks in, and he knew I was writing a book about Viagra, and he said, "What's the title?" And I said, "It's Side Effects, or maybe Little Blue Pills, I'm not sure yet." And he goes, "No, man, it's Hard Sell."
Wow.
And I said, "You know what? I get it, but we heard that 50 times a day, and I'm just over it." And he goes, "You heard it 50 times a day. Everybody did." And I thought, you know what?
He's so smart.
I aspire to have a career like Ted Griffin. I will take that advice.
Good.
And sure enough, I changed the title. I don't know if I said, I am pretty sure I did.
Ted Griffin deserves a book.
I'm going to email Kath and find out if I sent that. Yeah.
Hey, did you lock up the drugs then, you were saying, because people will try to steal them or get into your storage cabinet or whatever? Where'd you put your drugs?
Oh, they were just like in the trunk of the car.
I see. Yeah, that's where my friend who was a pharmaceutical rep. He just had the drugs in the trunk of a car and a gun. I didn't get that.
Yeah, but the gun is weird.
I think
in fact, I think that's pretty much contractually you're not allowed to drive around a company car with a gun.
Right?
But, yeah.
And so you left Fresno and you came to L.A.?
Yes.
And here you are.
And here I am.
And it is so much better, right?
Oh, my gosh. You can't tell from my tan, but I live at the beach in Hermosa. And
makes a big difference.
Slop it.
Such a quality of life, right?
I think so. Of course, my mom would say, but you're still single.
Well, so maybe you want to be.
Maybe I do want to be, Mom.
Do you want to be? I mean, do you want to be?
Yes. No, I'm looking for somebody.
You are.
I'm not going to. Yeah, I don't want to settle.
Do you do the dating sites thing?
I have not done any of the dating sites.
Yeah. I did that once, for a short time. For a short time. Because I met one guy, and as soon as I went to the restaurant, I'm walking toward him, and I'm like, it's never going to work. Like, I could just look at him, and I knew it wasn't going to work. So I'm like, okay, now I'm in for at least an hour.
Right.
And I don't want to be here.
Sounds like a story for Screwed.
Yeah, Screwed Up Stories. Well, I'm just saying there's like, you know, your time is all you can give to somebody, you know, and it's all you really have. So I just felt like, I don't know, it didn't work for me, but whatever. Let me ask you one more question about the Viagra thing. Did you have to go to annual meetings for Pfizer?
Yeah.
Did they make them like big and fancy and crazy?
Yes.
Like what?
Okay, I have to put it in perspective. For anyone who's seen the movie Love and Other Drugs, there's...
the Jake Gyllenhaal character.
Whose name is Jamie in the movie.
But, that's nice.
But Jamie Randall, in the script, it was Jamie Reedy, which was super for an egomaniac like me to see that over and over again. And then the Fox lawyers decided, that's... Somebody might sue us someday, so they changed it to Jamie Randall.
Safer for them.
Safer for them. In the movie, there's a drug launch for Viagra, and there's like a three-tiered, almost this three-tiered structure that had almost like the Hollywood Squares, where that has dancing girls in there, and they're backlit, and they're sexy.
Go-go dancers.
Yeah, that never happened.
That never happened.
That was the wonders of Hollywood. I also didn't get, I also didn't, wasn't as successful with the ladies as Jake is in the movie.
I see.
Yeah. I've had a number of friends text me.
But the parties and stuff, because those pharmaceutical companies,
you think
about.
Yeah, so the launch is like, you know, shrimp and crab. Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Crab legs and open bar. And yeah, all that was fantastic. But and you're always in amazing places like Miami or Vegas or New Orleans. Yeah, all that was great.
One time I'm hired to work this company's annual party in the Bahamas, and I'm going to be the mole. Oh, it was for a payroll company. And I was the mole at that time. It was like, that was when the TV show was big, the mole. And so everybody had to guess like who doesn't really work here. And there's like 1,000 people there.
Right.
And I'm like trying to be one of them. And it was so extravagant. Like the first night party, you know, was on the beach and the CEO comes up in a flipping jet ski. You know what I mean? And there's like the band and then there's like airplanes going over. And then, you know, ridiculous amount of alcohol being consumed. I'm not quite sure I understood all that. But then during the days, you'd have to go to these different conferences and these different rooms. And so I was, you know, I didn't really work for that payroll company. So during the days, I'd go in the beginning, I'd go to the breakfast, mingle, chat, like I had a backstory.
Right.
And then as soon as everybody went to their conferences, I would like, I'm out.
Go
and
take
I'd
a nap.
Go to the beach, right. Yeah. And then lunchtime would come and I'd have to put the other clothes back on and then assimilate back into the
right. They're like, wow, you smell like sunscreen and you're tanner.
And you know, nobody guessed who I was. I don't think anybody was even playing. So there was one particular lady that I really liked her a lot, and I don't know, she was in a wheelchair. I just liked her, and I don't know, I think she was from Pittsburgh where I'm from, and I told her I'm the mole and I'm like, you should win this. And so she did and she won.
Nice.
I know. Well, it was completely, you know, not ethical. But since nobody was guessing me, I thought, well, I'll just tell her.
Yeah.
and then she knew. But those parties are outrageous, right?
Yeah. So they're late nights, just a ton of drinks, and then but you have to be ready to rock and roll at 8 a.m. when the meetings start again.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of, you know, by the third day of the meeting, just the bags under people's eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the women have their hair pulled back.
And then everybody's like, they're playing these games. They're making you play games. And then there's, you know, the beach barbecue. And then there's the luau. And then there's the thing. And there's all those different. So was that fun?
So I'm a very chatty person. And I loved meetings.
Yeah.
But most people think the meetings are annoying.
Yeah. So. Were people throwing around Viagra? I'm just curious.
At the Viagra launch, I'm trying to remember if. I remember people being like, yeah, dude, I tried it. You know,
but
not like super out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I can only imagine now that they would be handing them out so much more freely.
Yeah, like in candy dishes.
Yeah.
Hey, great book, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's super fun. You guys can find Jamie Reedy over there on Twitter, like I said, at Jamie Reedy, JAMIEREIDY. And then, of course, follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Like I said, tweet Jamie over on Twitter. Let him know that you liked his story. And I want to give a big thank you to all the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, please check out my sponsors, because when you do, you are supporting me. On behalf of the very talented Jamie Reedy, thank you so much. Really, this was fun.
Thanks.
All right, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.